Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
They're heroes. They're heroes because they face dangers that most humans should not have to face.
An emotional news conference with the Charlotte-Mecklenburg police chief just wrapped up 15 minutes ago. And now at noon, new information about the officers who were killed and injured, plus neighbors recount the terrifying moments.
Pro-Palestinian protesters and police clash on the campus of UNC Chapel Hill. We're live on campus where demonstrators refuse to abandon their mission.
And I'm tracking a front that's headed our way. I'll show you when to expect rain across our area.
We are following two big breaking news stories, both gaining nationwide attention. An update on the gun battle that left four officers dead and four others injured in Charlotte.
The second big story is unfolding in Chapel Hill. Encampments continue to grow at UNC and other campuses across the country as demonstrators protest the war in Gaza. Locally, police and pro-Palestinian protesters clashed when the university's 6 a.m. deadline to disband passed.
We'll head live to Charlotte in just a moment, but right now, Palestinian supporters continue to rally on campus at UNC Chapel Hill. WRAL was there as officers moved in before dawn and ordered protesters to leave and arrested those who didn't.
WRAL's Matt Tallhelm is live on campus to bring us up to speed on all these new developments. Matt.
Yeah, Renee and Jeff, just within the last minute here, this vigil outside Wilson Library started on the move here. You can see the crowd marching along here. They are heading from Wilson Library, where they've had a silent vigil for the last 30 minutes to honor the people who were arrested here at these clashes this morning. You can see they are marching here. Their plan is to march up to South Building. That is the administrative building here, of course. That is the chancellor's office. The interim chancellor here is one of those who did order that protest, the encampment, to be cleared out here this morning. I want to show you some video from earlier today. This is where this all started here. We were outside the Orange County Detention Center and as the supporters cheered on the arrested protesters as they were released. Now, they did surround them. They tried to block our view using blankets and umbrellas. Court records we have show at least six people are facing charges, including trespassing, resisting an officer, and assault on a government employee. They are among about 30 people police initially detained as they cleared out that encampment right around 6 o'clock this morning. The university sent out a notice giving these protesters 30 minutes to leave the encampment. Then police from all across the UNC system went in and removed those protesters who refused to move out.
You got over 100, 200 police officers marching onto a campus to disrupt students while they're sleeping. And we are still not scared. We were ready for this because we know that, like, this is how they have been operating.
Now, UNC says some of the protesters tried to force their way into South Building after the encampment was cleared again. That is the administrative building, the chancellor's office. Not everyone that was detained or arrested is a university student here. According to the university, there are other people, not students, that were among those detained and arrested. But again, back out here live, as you can see, this crowd of, I'd say, 300 or more people that were holding that silent vigil on the steps at the Wilson Library are now on the move. They are marching here along Polk Place. Kurt, I don't know if you can actually see, they're marching right by where they held that vigil, their encampment, the last 5 days. That area is now surrounded by metal fencing. That's been put up here in the last few hours. That is where the encampment was set up for those 5 days. They are marching right by that encampment area here on their way up to South Building, where they plan to continue to rally to get their message, their chants across to the chancellor and university leadership here. They have been calling on the university to divest of their investments in Israel. That is something that has been one of their demands. They're going to continue that message up there. We'll bring you any updates as they happen here on UNC's campus. Back to you.
And the protesters there are growing in numbers there on UNC Chapel Hill campus as Matt Tallhelm continues to monitor that situation there from Chapel Hill. Just moments ago, the chief of police in Charlotte held a very emotional news conference on the shooting that claimed the lives of four officers.
Chief Johnny Jennings was joined by Governor Roy Cooper, along with other state officials, in offering support for the law enforcement community.
Michelle McConaughey is in the WRAL Live Center with new information. Michelle.
Yeah, that press conference just ended moments ago, but we now know the names of all four that were killed. We know the Samuel Polochi and Alden Elliott of the Department of Corrections. They were both killed. Joshua Iyer was a Charlotte police officer, and U.S. Marshal Thomas Weeks. He is with the Fugitive Task Force. So those are the four officers that were killed. They were attempting to serve a search warrant on Monday to Terry Hughes for possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. When they got to a home there in Charlotte, they were met with immediate gunfire. Hughes was shot and killed in the front yard. Also, we are learning four other officers were hurt in this. We have their names as well. Chris Tolley, he is in the hospital recovering. Mike Giglio was released. Jack Blowers was also released. And Justin Campbell, he was not shot, but he broke his foot. He is also recovering out of the hospital. Charlotte Police Chief Johnny Jennings was so emotional at this press conference. Take a listen.
You know, the last few days have it's just been very tough. And knowing that you have families that are hurting right now, we'll get through it, though.
And Chief Jennings went on to say that certainly this is something that will impact the country. He says this will take time and this will take support from everybody.
All of those officers are heroes. It has been a difficult and dramatic 24 hours in the East Charlotte neighborhood where those officers were shot. Hundreds of officers swarmed that neighborhood.
And some people had police snipers set up in their homes. Others had injured officers pulled to safety right through their living rooms. WRL's Eric Miller has been in that neighborhood all morning long. And Eric, the damage to the home Hughes was holed up in is hard to believe.
Jeff, it really is extraordinary damage and extraordinary stories from these neighbors. Neighbors tell me this damage you see right here was actually caused by a SWAT vehicle ramming the front of the building. You can see it completely pulled it to pieces. There's shattered siding, broken brick, personal belongings left scattered everywhere in this front yard. This East Charlotte neighborhood today dealing both with a broken home and broken hearts.
Tuesday morning, it's still hard to believe.
It was just gunfire.
Even for people like Tyler Wilson, who had a front row seat.
So at one point, there was probably 10 or 15 police and marshals in our backyard, some in our bedrooms. I opened the doors and let them just come through the house.
Wilson shot these videos as police swarmed through his yard. Shots coming from every direction, rolling, even as an injured officer was pulled through his living room.
It's one of those situations where you just black out. You just go into fight or flight mode.
The bullets started flying just after 1 p.m. as a U.S. Marshals task force worked to serve a warrant to this man, 39-year-old Terry Hughes Jr. The bullets didn't stop for more than 2 hours. Hundreds of rounds shredding the side of the house Hughes was holed up in, some bullets hitting too close to home for neighbors.
You can tell, like, there were shots fired. There's a bullet that penetrated right here.
Jay Chun lives just next door. He says he'd just gotten home when police arrived and when his father started shooting this video with his cell phone.
There were officers right here by my vehicle. There were like at least two officers by my back door.
By the time the shooting was over, four officers suffered fatal wounds, including CMPD's Joshua Iyer, Sam Polochi, and Alden Elliott, and a deputy U.S. Marshal. Hughes was also killed. Nearly 24 hours later, this East Charlotte neighborhood is left to pick up the pieces and pay their respects.
Really, the families that are impacted, the loved ones not coming home. I can't imagine what they're going through or what they're feeling.
Yeah, it really is unimaginable. The other thing that we've heard out here from neighbors today is people who were honestly grateful, thankful, despite this damage, that there were officers willing to put themselves in harm's way here. Again, so much happening as this story develops. We'll stay on top of it. I'll send it back to you in the studio.
pretty chaotic and terrifying for everyone around in that neighborhood. Eric Miller, live for us in Charlotte. And coming up in our next half hour, we'll go back live to Charlotte for a live report from WRL's Monica Casey with what she is learning about the officers impacted.
A cold front approaches this afternoon and brings us a chance of showers. Elizabeth Gardner is on the WRL weather patio with a look at what time you can expect the rain. Elizabeth, that it feels very comfortable out there.
It does. We have a little bit of cloud cover out here. When the sun is out, you know, it starts to feel really warm. But there's some clouds that are moving across the sun from time to time. This is a look at our front. It's starting to move closer to the mountains and some of the rain moving into the mountains now and starting to move into the western Piedmont. Once this moves across the mountains, it will be noticeably weaker. And we're not likely to see a whole lot of rain with this. We take a look at our satellite image here. This is our high resolution satellite. We do have a lot of cloud cover, just little puffy cumulus clouds that are developing. You can see that gray area, but you see the white clouds back to the west. That's where the rain is going to come from. So it's still a good bit back to our west right now. We take future cast on through the afternoon. We will see increasing clouds. The front moves toward us, but it's likely to be fairly late. We pause it there at 5 o'clock and it's fairly dry during the evening commute. But by the evening, say 8 or 9 o'clock, we start to see a few isolated showers or thunderstorms pushing in. And that's likely to be with us up until around midnight or so. Those will be fairly isolated. We're looking at just a 20 to 30% chance of some rain between around 9 o'clock and midnight. Now, that front lingers and may bring us another chance for some isolated showers tomorrow. We'll go through the timeline for that in just a few minutes.
Elizabeth, thanks. The driver in a crash that killed a UNC student in January appeared in an Orange County courtroom this morning. Flamesia Brewer faces several charges in connection to the crash that killed Molly Rotunda. A crash report said Brewer was driving as fast as 124 miles an hour the night of the crash, and her car was being closely followed. As Brewer and her attorney left the courthouse today, WRL asked them if racing was a factor in the crash. They repeatedly told us they had no comment. Her next court date is set for July 23rd.
A man charged with a deadly stabbing at a Cumberland County bar is due in court this afternoon. Sarkar Hassan is charged with voluntary manslaughter in the death of Derek Ferricks. Police said Ferricks was stabbed to death at Pirates Sports Bar on Manchester Road in Spring Lake last Wednesday. He was taken to Cape Fear Medical Center where he died.
A man accused of robbing an 83-year-old woman at an ATM is now in police custody. Police say an anonymous tip led them to the Days Inn, and that's where they found 37-year-old Antoine Billups. Investigators say Billups is the man in the surveillance pictures we shared with you. He was charged with robbery and sent to the Nash County Jail.
Coming up next at noon, former President Donald Trump fined for violating a gag order. What the judge said could be next.
Also in New York, a district attorney was getting pulled over for speeding, but she didn't stop until she got home. Hear her explanation.
Plus, U.S. and Arab leaders push for a ceasefire in Gaza. Why there's concern this is the last chance before possible escalation.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Former President Donald Trump is back in a New York courtroom. As right now, we want to take a live look as we bring you back here this noon, take you out to campus right now. And that pro-Palestinian rally continues on campus. About 5:30 this morning is when campus administrators told them they had to leave the encampment that they had set up by 6 a.m. They were forcibly removed. Police came in and moved that area, took it down, and is blocked off with gates and fencing now. So they have moved their campus protest to a different area there. And we have live pictures that we're bringing you right now. Matt Tallholm's going to come up here in a couple minutes and give us an update of where they have moved and what's being said right there in this protest as it continues. Former President Donald Trump back in a New York courtroom for his hush money trial. And this morning, the judge ordered Trump to pay $9,000 in fines for violating a gag order 9 times. And for the first time, a member of his family, his son Eric Trump, attended the criminal trial. Trump is accused of falsifying business records to hide a hush money payment made to adult film star Stormy Daniels ahead of the 2016 presidential election. A district attorney in New York is apologizing after refusing to pull over for speeding and cursing at a police officer. That encounter was captured on police body cam after she pulled into her garage.
So why didn't you just stop like you're supposed
to? Because I didn't feel like stopping on Phillips Road at 5:30.
That's not your choice. You know that.
Well, I made it my choice.
Okay. Now you made it a bigger deal than it needed to be.
In the video, you can hear the officer ask Monroe County District Attorney Sandra Dorley why she didn't pull over when he had his lights and sirens on. She admitted going 55 miles per hour in a 35 mile per hour zone, but she says she thought he was trying to pull over other people on the road. Dorley was uncooperative throughout the video, even attempting to go inside her home at one point. On Monday, she apologized to the police officer and says she vows to make this right.
We have some sad news to report from the Wake County school system. The principal of North Wake College and Career Academy has died. Dr. Elizabeth Battle died yesterday, but her cause of death has not been released. Battle joined North Wake as principal in July 2017. Parents and caregivers can contact Transitions Grief Care for free services to help students navigate feelings of loss. In addition to classes, all extracurricular events are canceled for the day.
Tonight, you can learn more about the need for more child care facilities across North Carolina and how you can help. The State Department of Health and Human Services will host a forum tonight, 6 to 7:30. It's happening at the Perry Memorial Library in Henderson. Last year, 278 child care facilities closed in North Carolina. 60% of facilities statewide report staffing shortages. 55% are under-enrolled because of a lack of staff.
We are in for another warm afternoon, getting back up into the 80s, but we have a lot more cloud cover today.
And when that cloud cover is there, it's not quite as hot. Elizabeth Gardner is out on the WRL weather patio, though, but when it pops out, Elizabeth, the temperature rises.
It does. I'm glad it's behind the clouds right now because I've got my jacket on and I wasn't planning to take it off. Let's take a look at what's happening out here in the garden. It's absolutely beautiful. There are people out here enjoying a gorgeous day. There are a few more clouds, but it just feels very pleasant. The temperature feels great. It's 76 degrees right now. It is a little breezy. We have a southwest wind at 9 miles per hour, and our steady southwest wind that we've seen the last several days has really helped to push the warmth in. So we're at almost 80 degrees now. We'll likely make it into the mid 80s by around the middle of the afternoon. It's a little breezier than it was this time yesterday. Again, that steady southwest wind, anywhere from about 10 to 15 miles per hour, but then we're gusting 20 to almost 25 miles per hour. So it is a little bit breezy out there, but it's a very pleasant breeze since it's coming out of the south and west. So again, looking at that 15 to 20 mile per hour gust all the way through the afternoon. 85 for the high this afternoon in Raleigh, 84 in Durham, and 85 in Fayetteville. Now that is almost 10 degrees above normal. So yes, it is. It's still a little early for the temperatures to be this warm. We have moved, I need to move that up, into 61 degrees, which puts us to tolerable. You may notice as you step outside, it does feel a touch more humid. Yesterday, our dew point was in the mid-50s. That felt very comfortable. Once we start to push it into the 60s, it's not terrible. I mean, we're not talking about steamy or tropical by any means, but you just sort of start to notice. You'll be like, it does feel just a little bit humid. And we'll likely see that now all the way through the weekend, especially this weekend when we have a better chance for rain, putting more moisture into the atmosphere. 76 is our normal high temperature, so temperatures are going to be well above normal today all the way through the weekend and really even up until next Monday. Here's a look at our cold front again with some showers moving into the mountains right now. We're going to continue to see some cloud cover on and off this afternoon, but we're probably not going to see any rain until much later this evening. This is a fairly slow moving front, and the time period on this has slowed down even today as we've gotten some newer information in. So looking at, say, 8 or 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, a few isolated showers or thunderstorms start to move into the area, and that's likely to continue on up until around midnight or so. Now, tomorrow, looking at the same story, we have the potential to see a few isolated showers during the afternoon and evening, maybe even a scattered thunderstorm, but we get into a better chance for rain on Saturday and Sunday. Of course, we are proud sponsors of the Komen Race for the Cure. You can see the pink ribbon there on Saturday. So that race is in the morning. Right now, Saturday morning looks like it could be the driest part of the weekend, and that's definitely good news for racers out there for Komen. But we'll walk you through Saturday and Sunday hour by hour with a look at our rain chances coming up in just a bit.
Elizabeth, thanks. Batteries, laundry detergent, and other common household items saw big recalls this month. Today at 4 or 5 on your side is tracking the products you need to watch out for in your home coming up in the recall report.
Also, construction on I-440 is proving difficult for drivers to navigate. Brett Neese looked at a crash and some data in those zones. He details the trend he has found at 5:30. Still ahead this noon, U.S. regulators pass a new rule designed to improve automatic braking systems. The deadline for all U.S. cars to be equipped with this potentially life-saving technology.
Peacock gets pricey just before the Summer Olympics in Paris. How much subscription tiers will cost?
And we'll take you back for a live look right now. On campus, UNC Chapel Hill, pro-Palestinian protesters have moved now on the steps of South Hall. And they have gathered in large numbers there. And Matt Tallhelm standing by, and we'll join him in just a few minutes here to get an update on this part of their protest.
And we'll take you back live to Chapel Hill, where a huge crowd has gathered in front of the steps of the South Building, as well as into the area known as the main quad there. The crowd numbering in the hundreds there as they listen to protesters speak. They are holding up signs and chanting right now. We are keeping an eye on this situation here on UNC Chapel Hill's campus. Matt Tallhelm is there, and we'll hear from him coming up in about 7 minutes.
Teens who vape have a higher risk of exposure to lead and uranium. That's according to a new study in the journal Tobacco Control. The study's authors found that among teens who vaped intermittently, urine lead levels were 40% higher than compared with occasional vapers. Experts say the metal exposure could harm brain and organ development. Bit of good news out of all this, though, the amount of high schoolers who use e-cigarettes decreased by more than 4% between 2022 and 23.
Today is the deadline for some borrowers to get student loan forgiveness. Eligible borrowers who consolidate their federal student loans may qualify for full debt cancellation or to receive credit. The entire processing period takes at least 60 days. It does not guarantee you will be approved. To find out what kind of loan you have and if you qualify, go to studentaid.gov. A new kind of job scam is targeting recent college grads. Fake recruiters are using information they find online to claim that an educator has recommended a student for a job opening. The scammers gain access into a professor's email or create a similar one to trick soon-to-be graduates into applying. Once a student applies for that fake job, the scammers can steal their identity or bank information. The FTC warns job seekers to be cautious of texts or emails that ask them to download an app to conduct a job interview.
GNC is hoping popular weight loss drugs can give it a boost. The company announced plans to add a section for customers taking weight loss drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy. The new section will have protein shakes, vitamins, and supplements that are geared towards helping with side effects. GNC filed for bankruptcy and closed over 1,200 of its stores in 2020. It hopes the new plan will draw in millions of customers that take weight loss drugs. Another streaming service is planning to increase the price. Starting this summer, Peacock will raise prices by $2. It comes as the app plans to stream this year's Summer Olympic Games in Paris. The hike takes effect July 18th for new customers and on August 17th for existing customers.
We continue to follow breaking news out of Charlotte, where support is pouring in for members of law enforcement. What we're learning about the four officers who were killed yesterday, as well as the condition of the four other officers who were wounded.
Plus, deal or no deal, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vows to press forward with an attack in southern Gaza as the U.S. and Arab nations rapidly work on a new ceasefire deal.
And here's a look at your winning North Carolina education lottery numbers. We'll be right back. Right now, as we're coming up on 12:30, we are closely watching the protest that is growing on UNC Chapel Hill's campus, the crowd now numbering in the hundreds.
Yeah, but that seems to have grown throughout the day. Today's the final day of classes, but as we know from the arrests earlier, a couple dozen arrests earlier, not all of those people who were arrested are students at the school. Matt Tallhelm has been out there all morning long and has seen a lot of movement from their original location to where they are right now. Matt, tell us what's happening there.
Yeah, Jeff and Renee, the protests have started with a silent vigil at the other end here, but you can see they are now on the steps here of South Building. This is the Chancellor's office here, inside here. Within the last 30 minutes, we did get a message from the Chancellor's office saying that no one has the right to disrupt our campus here and operations, nor to threaten or intimidate our students or damage and destroy public property. That is the message from the Chancellor's office here as this protest continues right outside the Chancellor's office. There are now hundreds of people, as you can see in the crowd, that have gathered out here. We do know, as you mentioned, 6 people have been arrested, not all of them UNC students. Those 6 people are all facing a variety of charges after that encampment was cleared out and broken up. All 6 are charged with resisting a public officer. 5 are charged with second-degree trespassing. 2 are also charged with assaulting a government official. The crowd here saying that they are here to show support for them, to be together here, and to continue this call to the university's administration here to divest in any investments in Israel, to disclose them. They are also calling for a ceasefire. As you can see, though, a lot of those signs that were a part of that encampment right over there behind this crowd, that's where they were camped out for 5 days here on this campus. They are now gathered outside here in silence, sending that message to university administration. It has been peaceful. We have not seen any police out here throughout this protest, throughout this march. It has mostly just been students, community members, and faculty members here. But again, we will continue to be live here following this as anything develops here.
Matt Tallhelm live on campus, UNC Chapel Hill.
A similar scene playing out at the University of Utah, where law enforcement agencies combined efforts to remove hundreds of pro-Palestine protesters. School officials issued a statement Monday night instructing demonstrators to take their tents down immediately and leave. The statement warned of consequences for students, faculty, and community members.
Protesters at Columbia University in New York broke windows and occupied Hamilton Hall on the school's campus early this morning. Many of them wore helmets, safety glasses, gloves, and masks and barricaded that entrance. School officials say they've begun suspending those who refused to leave their encampment. At UCLA, a pro-Palestinian protest encampment was taken over a large campus plaza there for several days. And this is what it looks like from up in the air. University officials said minor scuffles broke out involving demonstrators and pro-Israel demonstrators over the weekend. No significant injuries or arrests have been reported.
U.S. and Arab leaders are expressing concern that newly revived talks could be the last chance for a ceasefire and hostage release before the war could explode with an Israeli attack in southern Gaza.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken begins his visit to the Middle East today with his first stop in Saudi Arabia. NBC's Raf Sanchez reports from Tel Aviv.
There is a real sense of urgency right now about getting a ceasefire deal over the line, a feeling that this may be the last chance for an agreement. And that's why we are seeing this major diplomatic push by the Biden administration. Secretary of State Antony Blinken was in Saudi Arabia earlier. He's flown on to Jordan now. And overnight, President Biden speaking to the rulers of both Qatar and Egypt, the major mediators in these negotiations. The proposal on the table right now would see Hamas free around 33 hostages. In exchange, Israel would agree to a 40-day ceasefire and the release of potentially thousands of Palestinian prisoners. Here in Tel Aviv last night, we saw major protests from Israelis demanding that their government make an agreement. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today is taking a hard line, though. He is saying Israel will move ahead with an attack on Rafah with or without a hostage deal. Hamas negotiators were in Cairo yesterday studying what the U.S. says is an incredibly generous proposal, and they are preparing to submit a response. Raf Sanchez, NBC News, Tel Aviv.
And our coverage of the Israel-Hamas war continues on air and online. You can go to WRL.com for additional updates and past stories.
We're also on top of another big story today. Charlotte-Mecklenburg police gave an update on the shooting that left four law enforcement officers dead and four others injured yesterday.
Police Chief Johnny Jennings was joined by several other officials, including Governor Roy Cooper. Michelle McConaughey was listening to that news conference. It wrapped up within the last half hour or so and joins us now in the WRL Live Center with that story.
Yeah, we heard from Charlotte Chief Police Chief Johnny Jennings earlier in this newscast, and you heard how emotional he was, saying that the last few days have been so tough. Families are hurting. But he also said that this is a scar on Charlotte, but they will get through it.
So this is certainly a tragedy that's going to impact, I would say, our country for a very long time. It's a scar on Charlotte, but a scar that won't heal.
And we also heard from Governor Cooper as well. He asked North Carolinians to pray for those affected, saying that the state will be with the victims' families in the coming days, weeks, and, of course, years ahead. Michelle, thanks. Now, at the top of the hour, WRL's Eric Miller spoke with people who lived in that East Charlotte neighborhood.
Our team coverage of the deadly shooting in the Queen City continues with WRL's Monica Casey with additional information from that news conference. Monica.
Jeff, within the last 30 minutes, we've learned more about what happened here. Take a look at the damage to this house behind me. The police chief says it's still being processed. There are over 100 rounds of casings. He says the suspect was firing from upstairs on both sides of the house. You can see the broken glass and bullet holes here. Police recovered an AR-15 and a 40 caliber handgun with ammunition for both. Four law enforcement officers lost their lives here yesterday. We are working to get a photo of Deputy Thomas Weeks. He was 48 years old and leaves behind a wife and four children. Pictured here on your screen on the left, CMPD officer Joshua Iyer was killed. He has a wife and a three-year-old son. North Carolina Department of Correction officers Sam Pelosi and Alden Elliott were also killed yesterday. Pelosi leaves behind a wife and two children, and Elliott a wife and one child.
We saw what I mentioned yesterday, officers going into the line of fire to save their brothers in blue who have gone down in the act of trying to keep our community safe.
We are also learning more about the four CMPD officers who were injured yesterday responding to the calls for help here. 18-year veteran Christopher Tolley had surgery and is recovering. 3-year veteran Michael Giglio had a gunshot wound and was released from the hospital yesterday. Jack Blowers has been with CMPD for 1 year and he was also released yesterday. Joshua Campbell was treated for a broken foot and discharged this morning. Now, the police chief says the two women who were inside the house are cooperating and they are not looking for any more suspects or people of interest. We know one of those women is 17 years old. Jeff?
Monica Casey, more details coming out of that heartbreaking story in Charlotte. Thank you for that.
To think of the four officers who were killed, all husbands and fathers. A Catholic priest is relieved of his duties over allegations that he stole $40,000 from the church. What investigators say he used that money for.
Plus, a new kind of brakes will be required in cars made in the U.S. The unique feature of this type of brakes is to keep you and your family safe. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click report it in the WRL News app. Florida's new 6-week abortion ban is set to take effect tomorrow. The new law has sparked protests across the state. It'll override the state's current 15-week ban. An amendment to protect the right to an abortion is on the state's November ballot.
A Pennsylvania Catholic priest is accused of stealing parish funds to play games like Candy Crush. Lawrence Kozak is charged with theft and related crimes. Authorities say he racked up tens of thousands of dollars in expenses over 3 years and used some of that cash to play cell phone games like Pokemon Go. The Archdiocese has placed Kozak on administrative leave.
The USDA has started testing beef for the bird flu virus, and it includes the beef bought from grocery stores. Virus has been spreading in dairy cattle. The USDA said it is doing three separate beef safety studies. One includes sampling ground beef bought at grocery stores in states where dairy cattle have tested positive for bird flu. The agency says it is confident the meat supply is safe.
The medical device company Philips will pay a $1.1 billion settlement for hundreds of personal injury lawsuits over their sleep apnea machines. Philips has recalled more than 15 million CPAP devices since 2021 due to health concerns from the breakdown of foam materials that people could breathe in. The deal resolves claims of injury by about 58,000 users. Settlement payments to customers are expected next year. As the weather heats up, more motorcycle drivers will hit the road. How one company hopes to keep motorcyclists and drivers safe as they share the road. Here's a live look at UNC campus where pro-Palestinian protesters are rallying. This gathering in front of the steps of the South Building comes after police broke up an encampment on campus at 6 o'clock this morning, making several arrests. So far, we know of six people who were charged in the aftermath of the protests being broken up. All six are charged with resisting a public officer.
Five of them are also charged with second-degree trespassing, and two are charged with assaulting a government official. All were released with a written promise to appear, and they did not have to pay a bond. We're still working to determine how many were UNC students. Matt Tallhelm has been talking to some of those protesters out there on the scene. He joins us again right now from campus. Matt, what have they been saying to you?
Yeah, you know, Jeff, we've been talking to students out here on both sides of this issue here, including two Jewish students, one a student, one an alum here. They had very different views on that. I actually want to show you. There is a group from a Jewish fraternity over here. It's kind of hard to see behind some of the groups here, but they do have the Israeli flag there. They have a belief that they want to come out here and make sure that people hear their message just as much as the hundreds of people who are gathered here outside of South Building, the Chancellor's office, the administration building here, sending that message to UNC that they want them to divest in the money that is going to Israel. That's what the whole message of this encampment has been for the last 5 days till police came in and cleared it out here this morning. But they have been out here again for about an hour on the steps here at South Building. Hundreds of them. They marched from the other end of the quad here right around noon. We brought that to you live here on WRAL. But again, we continue to hear very different messages. A lot of it, you still are hearing this Free Palestine message, the ceasefire message, the call to UNC to divest in its funds, any funds that may be going to Israel. So we will hear from those students and from the alumni here about their beliefs about what happened this morning and what they think police did or did not do right in clearing out this encampment. That's coming up starting at 4 o'clock here on WRAO.
That's a good point, Matt. Also, right in that building behind you, some of those administrators were vocal about, hey, they regretted the fact that they had to do what they had to do this morning to break up that encampment and move this further along. And now it looks like they're following some other guidelines there on the steps as they continue their protest. So thanks for that.
And as Matt pointed out, that message attracting not just supporters, but also onlookers and also those counter perspectives there. Mm-hmm. We'll continue to monitor that protest here within our newscast and on WRL.com.
Take it outside of the WRL patio right now. Elizabeth Gardner standing by with a look at some sun, some clouds, definitely some heat out there.
Yeah, not bad right now. 76 degrees is our current temperature. There are people out here enjoying the shade. It's really not too bad right in the sun because we have a lot more cloud cover in place than we did this time yesterday. It's just feeling comfortable out here. We have a southwest wind at 9 miles per hour. It's a little breezier than it was yesterday. We'll see some gusts at about 20 to 25 through the afternoon. Here comes our cold front that's going to bring us the chance of some showers and maybe an isolated thunderstorm this evening. There's really no thunder with this back to the west as it's coming across the mountains, but there is some well down into South Carolina. And of course, with some daytime heating and a little later in the day, it's possible that we could see an isolated thunderstorm. We're not expecting anything severe out of this. You can see that cold front getting closer to us late this afternoon. There's 9 p.m. It may be that late before we actually see any of these showers or thunderstorms moving through, and they fizzle out closer to midnight or so. And then after that, we should clear out a little bit by tomorrow morning. We'll stop it right there first thing in the morning tomorrow. And with a little bit of daytime heating, we're going to climb back into the 80s. There may be enough energy with that lingering boundary for an isolated shower or thunderstorm again on Wednesday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon. This version of Futurecast isn't showing that, but certainly the ingredients will likely be there. So a small chance for today and again tomorrow. Tonight, it's really going to be tonight, you know, between 9 o'clock and midnight. Thursday and Friday are dry. Saturday and Sunday look wetter. We'll have a different front that comes through. We're watching Saturday morning very carefully. We're proud sponsors of the Komen Race for the Cure, and so many people go out for that race, and it's such a good cause. Notice here at 8 or 9 a.m., it is showing some rain. Some of the models are not terribly wet on Saturday morning, and as we get through the next few days and we see more model runs, especially the high-resolution runs, that's going to give us a much better idea of the timing. Certainly afternoon and evening thunderstorms on Saturday, and then on Sunday, we may see some rain early and then some afternoon and evening storms as well. So it looks like it's going to be more wet than dry over the weekend. I would say, unfortunately, but we need the rain. This is a look at Futurecast. We can see anywhere from 3/4 of an inch to maybe an inch and a half or more of rain out of the system. And again, that's definitely good news. We could use the rain. We take a look at our temperatures, looking at mid-80s today, tomorrow, Thursday, 89 on Friday. We have yet to hit 90 officially at RDU, so we're going to be awfully close to it Friday. We might make it. And then just a little cooler Sunday with more of an all-day rain potential. And then back to 88 on Monday. Looking ahead into the first week or so of May, it still looks warm, but it also looks potentially wetter than normal. And again, we definitely do need that rain. We'll be back with your top stories in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
We wrap things up this noon with a look at some of the big breaking news stories we're following for you today.
Hundreds of pro-Palestinian protesters are rallying on UNC's campus right now. They are gathered outside the South Building where the chancellor's office is located. This afternoon's protest follows a clash with police around 6 o'clock this morning when officers broke up their encampment on the quad.
30 people were detained. We know at least 6 of them were charged with resisting a public officer, and our crews will continue to be out at UNC Chapel Hill all afternoon. You can look for live updates on our news starting at 4. Other big story we're following today unfolding in Charlotte. Investigators are still gathering evidence at the home where law enforcement got into a gun battle when they tried to serve a warrant. This morning, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg police chief said an AR-15 and a .40-caliber handgun were found at the scene, along with magazines and ammo for both. 4 law enforcement officers were killed. 4 others were injured. Today, police identified the deputy U.S. Marshal killed as Charles Thomas Weeks II and shared the names of all 4 law enforcement officers who were injured. Investigators say the person who was shooting was shot and killed by police. He was the subject of the warrant the U.S. Marshal's task force was attempting to serve.
All new American-made cars will be required to have automatic emergency braking systems by 2029. The new rules state all new U.S. cars and trucks must be sold with automatic emergency braking. AEB sensors hit the brakes to avoid a crash if the driver is not able to do so in time.
On average, about 5,000 bikers die on roads each year. They are 24 more times likely to die in a crash than people in cars. One company in Virginia, though, is trying to reduce those numbers. The GM at Mindshift Motorcycles says drivers can help bikers by paying more attention on the road, while bikers also must be vigilant and assume no one can see them.
Well, after a dramatic confrontation with police and protesters on UNC Chapel Hill's campus early this morning, we've been following the protests there on UNC Chapel Hill as we look in again live at some of the speakers talking with the supporters there who are pro-Palestinian.
NBC News Daily is coming up next on WRAL. Your next local news update will include that certainly in 30 minutes.
And look for live updates on the UNC Chapel Hill protest at 4. You can also follow along on the news app.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.